Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Forms and Fighting Champion John Chong, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Aloha and much mahalo to everybody. This is our Thanksgiving show, and I'm excited about our special guest tonight. But, you know, before I introduce this special guest, I get to introduce the man that has put us on the air for almost 10 years. The man that had the vision to help the Sport Karate Museum to be as strong as it is now. And his name is Hunchy Jesse Bowen. And I have him on the air. Hunchy Bowen, are you there, sir?
I am, sir. How are you doing? Happy Thanksgiving.
Doing great. Now, before we start, everybody who's on the air, can you please mute your phones so there's no background noise so we can hear everybody clearly? Hunchy Bowen, I'm doing great. I'm ready for Thanksgiving and, you know, to be able to say thankful things to around the people who've been following us for 10 years. God bless you, Hunchy Bowen. You're one of them. Now, you've done something very special for the museum. You not only helped me create and publish a book, you've created a store where people can actually get memorabilia, T-shirts, mouse pad, a wall clock even. Tell people about that, Hunchy Bowen, please.
Sure. Yeah, they can go to our who'swhointhemartialarts.com. That's who'swhointhemartialarts.com. And they can click on the link for the store. And we've got a Sport Karate Museum store set up. So they can go directly there and get their, order their T-shirts. You know, they can order their hoodies. They can order sweatshirts. So all those things to show support for the museum, they can get there. And remember, these are make special Christmas gifts. So if you go in and order early, you'll be able to have these gifts by Christmas. But you really need to go in and order now because it'll get really, you know, backed up. And we want to make sure that you have this gift that celebrates the Sport Karate Museum, that you have it underneath your tree.
Well, you know, golly bum, how can I even start? Because I've been thinking about this all day. You know, you're a very special man. You have vision. You've created the Who's Who books and brought them back out. You created international karate tournaments. You've had schools. And now you've got a publishing company. But let's talk about the next step. You did the books, but now you're doing magazines. Let's talk about the magazine you're doing.
Yeah, we have really been, you know, focusing on magazines because we know back in the day everyone knew what was going on because of Black Belt Magazine, Karate Illustrated Magazine, and all these other things. What we've done, we've created a magazine that creates and talks about legacy. It talks about business. You know, we have a lot of really great things in there. So what we decided to do is create a program all about helping martial artists to be able to promote their schools. And so now this year we're going to be launching our marketing magazine. And the marketing magazine is for people that need that support, the community knowing who they are. What better way than to share that in a magazine? To be featured in the magazine, to be featured on the front cover of the magazine, and it's, everything is branded around you. And not only can you be featured in the magazine, that magazine could be tailor-made and with your account number on there for going to MagCloud, and you can sell the magazine instead of me selling the magazine. You can sell the magazine, get it out to your community. This is one of the best ways to keep you in front of your community and promote your martial arts business is to be featured in a magazine, even better, to be featured on the front cover. So our Martial Arts Extraordinaire magazine, that's what it will be this upcoming year. We've already been doing some this past year, but really helping the magazine to be able to be a branding tool. So when martial artists really want to accelerate their growth, then this is one of the tools that will be able to help them be able to do that.
And we need to share with our listeners that they can go to the official Sport Karate Museum page, www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com. And the AMAA Network has a special page up there where you can update people on the magazine and the network and any other ideas that you might have. I'll suggest you go on. And you know what? I found out a couple of days ago that as far as GoDaddy goes, the Sport Karate Museum webpage is in the top 10 webpages of the world. Isn't that incredible? And it's because of people like you. It's because of people like you that believed in the museum and helped us to become who we've become. Now, what else? Oh, you got any other projects going on?
Well, we really do. We have, Sifu Goldberg's book is coming out in January, where we are honoring, Koki, Michael DeSquale.
That's
just a tribute to him for all the people that have known him as students. That is sort of like it is a legacy book directly towards him. And then we have the Who's Who in the Martial Arts. That's going to be coming out in North Carolina. We have the Who's Who in the Martial Arts Awards Banquet. And then we have our first edition of Legacy in the Martial Arts, which is a book that we're coming back and capture all 10 years of bringing people together. We have Grandmaster Norris is on the cover. We have Jeff Smith and Joe Corley is on the cover. We have Stephen Hayes on a cover, Cynthia Roth. So we're bringing all those people back together. My teacher, Dan Willendorf, and bringing all those people back together for one reunion. And this is a reunion of, having those people. We've been in Vegas for 4 years. We were in D.C. for 4 years. So started off here in North Carolina. So we're coming back to North Carolina, tribute to all the legacy people that's actually been on the cover of our book. We just lost Grandmaster Pat Johnson here about a week ago. But that's just to show that, we didn't come here to stay. And time is moving on. So what do you do with your legacy? Who's going to tell your story? What is it you have to offer that you know that would make a difference in someone's life? So we're giving martial artists that opportunity to be able to share that, to be able to be a part of it, to be a part of that.
Well, thank you for all you do, and happy Thanksgiving, Hunchy Boy. Happy Thanksgiving, and I'll see you real soon. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is my producer, Hansi Jesse Bowen from Elite Publications. And, the neat thing about it is you surround yourself with incredible people. Now, tonight, because our show is a Thanksgiving show, a few of our regulars aren't going to be on, and we're going to miss them. One is A.J. Perry, and the other one is Mr. Dean Piles. They are working with their families in a snake city, and they deserve a night off, so we're going to give it off to them tonight. Also, one of my main ladies, Karen Slasher, she is with her family on Thanksgiving, so God bless them. But tonight, we have a very, very me a special show. I get to introduce, well, someone that I admire and I respect deeply because he is authentic in what he does. He doesn't hold any punches in the ring or with his mouth. And I say that in love. And he is a wushu master instructor. He is a high-ranking belt in Aikido. He is a high-ranking belt in Taekwondo. He is one of the most prolific fighters that we've had in Texas. And in the 80s, he was a terror. And I know because I got a couple third places to him. You know, he beat me pretty good a couple times. But you know what? Neither yay nor nay, he is a great guy. And I'm going to bring one right now. My friend, Sifu Robert Harville. Robert, you there?
I'm here.
Well, yeah, I bet you forgot that I would mention that you beat me a couple times. I remember those days, but you could bang. You could bang. And now, what year did you make black belt, Robert?
In 85.
85. Now, when you go to China, because, you know, that's pretty interesting that a guy like you would go to China. Why'd you go to China for in the first place?
Well, I went there, even though, well, let me give you a summation. Now, Taekwondo was my first art, my first love, and that's what I was exposed to. So, you know, and then I saw a martial arts expo out in California where all the Kung Fu masters there, guys like On that played in End of the Dragon, Mai Sifu, Master Johnny Lee, Eric Lee, all those guys were there. And I saw him do an exhibit, and I was really fascinated by it and stuff and everything. So I really wanted to, you know, experience martial arts in the whole realm, just not one art, because if you close your mind just to one thing, you can't grow. So I wanted to experience different arts and stuff. So I got involved with the Kung Fu arts, and I've been with it ever since. Not that, and a lot of people thinking, well, why you didn't like Taekwondo? It's not that I didn't like Taekwondo. I wanted to grow in other areas to be a more diversified martial artist and stuff. So the China thing came about by Roger Tong, who's now deceased, a troop that was going to China, and they invited me to go because they know I'd gotten into the Kung Fu arts and stuff. So I went to China.
Cool. Now, what exactly happened to you when you went to China and your change in your formation of your attitude when you came back from Texas? You really started becoming known as a Kung Fu technician. What was that transformation like, Robert? I mean, mentally, how did you go through to transfer to a Kung Fu, from a Taekwondo known fighter to now a Kung Fu master? Well, that's what you became. Someone respected you as a master in Kung Fu.
Well, the change, like anything else, when you're new to something, you have to adapt to what's happening in that particular system. You know, now if I wasn't advanced enough or didn't have a good skill set, I don't recommend people jumping from art to art, because you got a lot of people say they've studied several arts, but you can only become proficient at other arts if you're proficient at the primary art that you start with. Then you can grow because you have a solid foundation established.
Yes. Now, what weapons, because I know you do quite a few, what particularly weapons do you favor and that you feel that you're proficient enough to do it in public? Maybe some of your weapons you train with.
Well, in the wushu system, most people select a category what they want to tackle and stuff, you know, and it's based on levels of your expertise. My expertise lies with the flexible weapons, which are the most difficult. Chain whip, double chain, rope dart, meteor hammers, those are flexible weapons, if y'all seen me do them over the years, the whip chain and stuff is in that category, in that family. It requires a lot of diligence, a lot of coordination, a lot of patience. A lot of people see it. It looks fancy, and it's got a lot of flair, but it's a lot of work, and there's a lot of danger involved in those weapons and stuff. As you see, sometimes I've done things, and I make a mistake, and I pay for it.
Well, I've been in the audience quite a few times where I've seen you perform, and I can tell my listeners and the people around the world listening that you are not only proficient, but you're authentic. And it's an honor, it really is, that you performed at the Legends and you performed in Cotter Wars. You judged at Cotter Wars. You're just one of these, well, Renaissance men that can do almost anything and everything. Now, a few years ago, I had you perform for a great man, Judge Roy Kerman, and you came out with a walker and you entertained my audience. It was so cool. Now, what did you do to decide to do proficient martial arts and then become an actor? Was that hard to do? Because I did the same thing, but I'm curious how you would answer that. How did you become an actor? How did you decide to be funny or to be serious and to be in front of people and act like that, like you did for Judge Roy Kerman? That was cool.
Well, you have to know the story behind that. Roy is a great inspiration to me, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell this story, and I said that at the banquet. Years ago at his tournament at the Fort Worth Pro-Am, you know, I was competing and stuff, and he came up to me and said something that stuck with me for a long time. Now, you know, being in Texas, there's a sea of karate people, karate, taekwondo. He said, Robert, this is words. He came, he said, Robert, you know, I've seen a lot of competitors and stuff, you know, but he said, when I see you perform with your kung fu art, he said, it's a thing of beauty. You do weapons, you do forms, you do fighting, and you're just not out there doing it. You win at every single thing. He said, that's rare. Somebody either good at fighting, they're good at weapons, or they're good at forms and stuff. He said, you're good at all three. He said, you are the complete martial artist and stuff. He said, and I admired that. And then when we was at the banquet, he signed, you know, he had signed my book. He said, man, this looks like you hadn't missed a beat. He said, you look like you're still in your 20s. He said, you're unbelievably fast for your age.
Well, that's a great compliment, and I believe that performers bored, but they're produced, and then they're seasoned, and then they get better and better and better and better. Now, you're going to be one of the people we're going to say thank you to in October 4th at the Youth Conference. How do you feel about the museum saying or recognizing you? Because you've been to quite a few Legends. I mean, you've been to quite a few. You've seen quite a few and been a part of some big ones. How do you feel that now you're going to be saying thank you to? How do you feel about that, Robert?
Well, I'm very humbled by it. You know, you're honoring me, but there's a lot of other people that I feel like they should be honored before me, but, I mean, I appreciate the acknowledgement that people want to honor me and stuff and everything. But I just have a true love for the martial arts. I like sharing. It don't matter what the style is. I mean, I'm around karate people all the time and stuff, so they like the art and stuff. I'll share whatever they want to know, you know, and give them knowledge if they seek it and stuff. I'm not characterized by, you know, I'm a kung fu star, so I ain't going to show no karate people nothing. Anybody that's got a thirst for knowledge and want to learn, I share it. That's just where I am. I'm free-hearted with it.
Well, you're definitely one of the good guys. So, listen, don't go anywhere. We're going to be back in just a few minutes, and we're going to play the Legends name game, where I'll hit you with a name, Robert, and you get to talk about them, and I'll close the show out. So, Robert, don't go anywhere, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Mr. Robert Hartfield from Dallas, Texas. By the way, he lives in Houston now, but he was one of these great competitors that Texas created in Dallas, the 70s and 80s, and we're going to bring you back in a few minutes. We played the Legends Dame game. But, you know, the neat thing about what Parts Unknown and Sisters allowed me to do is put together a group of people weekly that we call the Five. And these five people I've chosen to speak about topics that we should talk about, that we need to talk about. And sometimes people don't want to talk about them, but we do. And these five people are incredible. Tonight, one of my ladies is off tonight with her family, helping celebrate Thanksgiving. We wish her all the best, Miss Karen Slasher. But my other five are here, and I get to introduce them right now. The first gentleman I want to introduce is, he's an American hero. Literally, he won a Silver Star back in the day when they were fighting wars, particularly Vietnam. He is one of the main advisors for the Sport Crime Museum Military Advisory Board, a personal advisor for the Sport Crime Museum. He is a SICA champion. If you don't know what SICA is the Southeastern Karate Association that was formed in the 70s by Joe Corley, Sam Chapman, Jerry Pennington, Larry Reinhart, Bill McDonald, Colin Bond. Those were the days. He was the actual champion. Trained in Okinawa. An amazing man. I get to bring him on every week. And I get goosebumps, you see. Because I love this man. I get to call him what he is. A real hero. Colonel Phil Torres, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. And thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Well, I get excited every week. I get to introduce you on my show, and we get to speak to people around the world about our attitudes. And tonight, the topic is real simple. How do you start seeing the attributes of a real master karate instructor? What do you see? How do you see, or what shows to be able to see that that instructor is very, very special, sir?
Well, for me, it's a myriad of many things, many behaviors. For one, I have always looked at the success of the students, how satisfied, how engaged, how they are effective in the community, how they have followed in that leader's step going forward to imitating that leader and getting the accolades and supporting people. I look for consistency of message when the verbal and nonverbal consistency in that he or she does what should be done or what he or she says he's going to do. He or she is a mentor, a coach, a facilitator. To many, he or she becomes a parental figure, always sets the example, never deviates from that. A good listener pushes improvement. I didn't say perfection. Sometimes perfect is the enemy of good. Pushes improvement for each and every individual under his or her charge. Makes people proud and makes people want to push themselves forward. That an excellent instructor fulfills many roles in our society to his or her students. That's how I judge the efficiency and effectiveness or the greatness of a good instructor.
Yes, sir. Wow. Well, give it to you, Colonel. I wish you have a happy, happy day with your family. Are you going to travel, or are you going to stay at home?
I'm gonna stay at home, and we're having some friends coming over to join us for dinner.
Cool.
Thank you, and a happy Thanksgiving to you and everyone involved in the program.
Well, I'm excited because after Thanksgiving, I will be introducing all the incredible speakers that are going to be at the youth conference that meets the pioneers, and you're one of them. I'm so excited about that.
Yes, sir, and yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, yes, that's going to be a lot of greatness. But anyway, God bless you, sir, and I'll see
you
next Tuesday. Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Colonel Phil Torres. Now, continuing on with the Amazing Five. Well, golly, Bob, I get tongue-tied because I really, really appreciate her. She is the second lady of the group of the five, and she has came on with a bang. She has a lot of attitude, same attitude she had back in the 70s when she used to beat up men. But she is a true champion, and I want to bring her on. Her name is Lourdes Radilat. Lourdes, you there?
Good evening, sir. Good evening, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving, Lourdes. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for being a part of the vibe of the show. You know,
thank you.
You're welcome, buddy. Now, tonight's topic is very simple. How do you start seeing the attributes and the high qualities of an instructor? And how do you feel about the fact that these young people who are like 20 years old and claiming to be master instructors, and they haven't got the tenure of the people that we've seen and been around? But what are the attributes of a master instructor, Lourdes?
Well, in my opinion, a master instructor is going to be someone that is experienced and in all aspects. When they're coming up and when they're teaching, they're going to be able to identify all of the different attributes in their students. We've got all kinds of different individuals that have different needs, different students that you'll be able to recognize those things, and you'll be able to see the different ones that will have immediate like potential. Others, you'll have to work with them and train them and develop their techniques so that they can better themselves. For me right now, something that's really big for me right now is very important with what's going on in the country and all of the problems that we're having with trafficking. That's one of the things that's very important to me right now is to make sure that the students know their self-defense techniques and know how to protect themselves against possible threats. That is something that is so important to me right now. And I think that it's very important that when you are an instructor, a martial arts instructor, I think that in order for your students to go up in rank, I think it's very important for them to, one of the requirements is for them to have to compete in order to go up in rank. In other words, if you are just, you know, providing belt tests and they're getting their rank, but they're not competing, or they're only competing in the classroom with students that they're familiarized with, I don't think that that is conducive to their being courageous and developing that courage in them, so where they feel like I want to get them to the point to where they have no fear, to where they'll react to reaction immediately.
Well,
and,
I kind of what you're saying, a massive search will build up the confidence, the PMA, the positive mental attitude, the ability to compete, and then to do it consistently. And I understand what you're saying. Yeah, you bet. You have a great Thanksgiving, okay? And God bless you for being part of the five. And
thank you so much.
I know you got your elbows and ears up and all the other things, but you took time to call tonight. That means a lot. So Thanksgiving is a very special time where you get to say thank you to the people who are very special, and you are. So God bless you, Lourdes. You have a great Thanksgiving, okay?
Thank you, sir. God bless everyone.
You're
and
welcome.
Everyone. Have a happy Thanksgiving. And God bless all of whom you love and hold dear, dear heart.
Aloha.
Good evening.
Now, Lourdes Radulat, like I said, is a true champion. She's part of the five. Now, this next gentleman is another amazing individual. He is known as the Black Belt Leader. Well, think about that, ladies and gentlemen. He has taken on the level of saying, I can teach black belts. I can be a leader toward the black belt. I admire that. Well, also for the past 3 years, he's allowed the Sport Karate Museum to nominate greatness each year and be put into the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame. Well, I believe this. Anything that's authentic and has the United States in front of it is very powerful. So I'm very honored that I get to do that every year through the Sport Karate Museum History Journal and myself to handpick individuals to be nominated each October. Well, I've got him on the air. And I get excited about introducing him because he's a great man, lots of wisdom. My friend, Dr. John Terry. John, you there?
Happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Happy Thanksgiving, John. Happy Thanksgiving, buddy. And we got another year to look forward to. Now, before I get you with the attributes of the question and the topic, I want to hit you with the fact that we're going to be saying thank you to you this year also for the work you've done with the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame. And that's special. Now, your event is in what, July? What is it exactly?
Yeah, our event typically is the third week of July. It's a three-day training camp followed by a black tie dinner where we have the opportunity to recognize and honor the inductee class of that year.
Super. Now, you haven't basically chosen the official location yet. We'll let people know about that, but you got the date. Now, let's talk about the topic tonight on the Thanksgiving show. What are the attributes of a great instructor? How and when do you feel you see when you're around a great instructor? I know you've been around some great ones. How do you feel about that, John?
You know, as you posed that question tonight, my mind went back to a number of incredible instructors that I've had the opportunity to mentor me and to speak into my life. And as I thought about the common qualities they all had, Professor Lee, I think the first quality they had is the fact that every one of them led themselves well, and they let it be known that they were not just a master at their martial arts, but they were a leader in the fact that they were taking what they had learned and they were passing that on. And I view things through the lens of a leader, and as I think through what makes a great leader, I think you have to look at their students. Colonel Torres mentioned that as well, that when you look at the fruit of what an instructor does, you reproduce after your kind. If you are a world-class instructor, that you're excellent at what you do, that you lead and you teach martial arts at a high level and go beyond that to teach those important character values and really instill into that individual what it means to be a martial artist, and then you watch the fruit of the labor as you see the students of that instructor rise to experience a similar level or even a greater level of success. At that point, I truly believe you begin to see a true leader that is really standing out and making a difference. I mean, there's a lot of good people that teach martial arts, but when you talk about the great ones left their mark in the lives of the students they inspired and taught and helped those individuals rise to the same height or greater heights in the future.
Well said, Dr. Terry. Well said. Now, you know, a lot of wisdom comes from you, and I'm tongue-tied, I'm sorry, but you know what's really exciting to me is that you run one of the largest, most authentic Hall of Fames we have in the world. How do you do that? I mean, I'm just curious how you go about picking and choosing the right people to be authentically respected and recognized by your Hall of Fame. How do you go about doing that, John?
You know, it starts with some amazing individuals like yourself that have the opportunity to nominate individuals for our team to consider. So when an applicant their name is submitted, we have a selection committee that is comprised of different grandmasters representing different martial arts disciplines so that we can do our due diligence and we can research what that individual has done and make sure that they are a legitimate martial artist, that truly what individuals have said about them is true, and we have an opportunity to check their lineage and their history to make sure that they're going to represent their art well, they're going to represent the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame well, and that as they go out into the marketplace, they're going to be taking what they've learned and using that to make a difference in the lives of other people.
Wow, thank you for saying that. Well, listen, thank you for being on the five, and happy, happy, happy Thanksgiving to you. And we've got our work cut out this next year, but we're going to do it, Dr. Terry.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yes, we are. So God bless you, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, my friend.
Now, did Adam James get on the line yet? Okay. Well, you know, I got to say this story because we're talking about master instructors. I was in New Orleans, and I was with Takeyoki Makami Sensei, the great all three-time karate champion. And he was on stage. And three of these huge guys, I bet they were well over 6 foot. And he was on a 5'5 on a good day. But barefooted, he was definitely close to 5'4. So anyway, first guy facing, he clashed, he dropped him with a reverse punch in his stomach, dropped him to his knees. Second guy, boom. Hit him with that reverse punch, dropped him to his knees. Third guy, and both these, all three of these guys were huge. So third guy did the exact same thing. We went back to the dojo, getting ready for the seminar. I asked him, that's what Makami said, say, how'd you drop those 3 6-foot men with that reverse punch, with that one punch? And he said he had a technique where he could hit them on his back and take the wind out of them without them even realizing it until their body collapsed. And it worked. It was amazing. Well, it was like almost 6 months later, we was in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and I was with Sam Chapman and Bobby Tucker and a crew of people, and Makami Sensei was doing the demonstration that night. He was working with his Ookies. Ookies means assistant. The first guy, he did a spin back kick, dropped him, knocked the wind out of him. I think he broke his ribs, in fact, because he had to be carried out on a stretcher. Second Ookie dropped him. And I was watching, I was laughing, and Sam sends Bobby over there and says, tell him he's got someone he can work out with and he's the hooky. And I was laughing because I think it was going to be Bobby. Bobby comes back over and says, okay, he needs me. He says, okay, Gary, get up. Go do it. I said, no, Sam, I'm not going to do that. He just dropped two people, one out. One was out in the stretcher. He says, no, he needs the hooky. Go help him. Well, I realized how dangerous this man was. But Tommy says, say, you're all three-time Japan champion. And I was really, really, really nervous. And I go over there, and he holds these candles and carrots, and he comes so close, but he doesn't touch me at all. Kicks, punches, everything. And believe me, I was so scared that I thought he knew what he did. To me, that was a master instructor. That was someone that could really, really do what he said he could do, show what he could do, and then back it up. Makabe Sensei, rest in peace. Now, is Adam James gone yet? Okay, well, I'm going to bring on the person I've been with for almost 6 years in advertising his invention along with
Bruce. Hello, Gary. It's Adam James here.
Hey, Adam, let me do you before I bring on my commercial. Now, Adam James is one of these guys who's been with me for a long time, but he comes on late because he works late. But God bless him, man, he's part of the five. Now, he also was an incredible worker at a company that we worked at together called World Bot Belt that was invented by Bob Wall. And we became dear friends. He experienced some legends a few times. And golly bum, he's one of my best mentors in Kung Fu, which, by the way, he is a Kung Fu specialist. He knows a lot about the Hawaiian ways also. But, again, like I said, he's part of the five. Now, tonight, Adam, you there, buddy?
Yes, I am.
Okay, tonight's topic is, what are the attributes of a great martial arts champion? Would it be Kung Fu or Karate? You know, what makes that person stand out, Adam?
Well, I mean, clearly, it's a physical activity, so the person needs to be athletic and gifted in athleticism, you know, balance, coordination, power, strength, flexibility, agility. But most importantly, as we all know, that what really makes a champion is character. You know, they have to have a strong willpower. They have to have an attitude of never giving up and always finding a way, no matter what the circumstances are. And so to me, that's probably the most important component of what makes a champion, is that they have to have their mind right. They have to be committed, dedicated, disciplined, and positive, you know, helpful and supportive of others, because that is all that leads us towards greater success in our lives.
Well, you've been around some great martial arts champions, without a doubt. So
yeah.
I want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. Are you staying in town or are you traveling?
I am going to be staying in town. And of course, I just had a big event over the weekend, so a little bit of recovery. We were at Comic-Con, myself and the team from the new Doc Savage Man of Copper streaming series show. We were very honored to be invited to go to Comic-Con and do a sneak preview special screening of our series. So we actually got a chance to show it in its entirety to an audience, and it was a really terrific experience having so much of our cast and crew.
How the audience respond to it? They like it?
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic. It was so great to hear people laughing with the jokes and cheering to the heroic moments. So we're really excited about the show, and, of course, it'll be coming out early 2024, and I'll be giving more information to all my friends and family and associates about it. So
is anything on YouTube yet? Is there any way we can see it? Or is it?
Not yet. Right now we're negotiating with several different streaming platforms. We're talking to Tubi, Roku, Amazon, and a few others. So very soon we'll make an announcement on the platform that we're partnered with and on a release date.
We want to be one of the first people to know about it, Adam. So let me get another radio show and tell everybody. That'd be cool.
Absolutely. Well, my fellow martial artists here and everywhere, I so appreciate your support, and I encourage each and every one of you to continue to pursue excellence in all that you do, and let me know if there's anything I can do to help.
Well, you have a happy Thanksgiving, and you know,
thank
like
you.
I said, we got a Black Friday sale going on with all the memorabilia of the museum, so you might check that out. And,
outstanding.
But anyway, buddy, I'll see you next Tuesday, and have happy lots of turkey and cranberry sauce. Okay.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Gary. God bless you and your family, and to all my fellow martial artists out there. Happy Thanksgiving.
You bet. Ladies and gentlemen, before I was talking to Adam, I was introducing my dear friends from SetVR XL Unleashed, and a representative is here tonight. He's on every week, in fact, to talk about SetVR XL Unleashed and the new version. Ladies and gentlemen, my dear friend, Dr. Reginald Lee, a real doctor who saves lives. But he's also a 9-3 black belt in underneath the Sport Karate Museum. Dr. Lee, you there, sir?
Good evening, sir. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. How are you?
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Now, tell my listeners exactly what SetVR XL Unleashed is, please.
Absolutely, sir. We, our developers and I, and my partners are working and planning to be the first on your program to unveil a spectacular platform that I believe will definitely make you fall off your chair. Professor Garley, the Sami is coming. Professor Garley, we are also super excited that SetVR XL Unleashed has recently updated the program whereby you, Professor Garley, will be introduced as the Wisdom Warrior, as a Samurai Ninja. SetVR XL Unleashed, a program to test your skills in a simulation program, as well as to be educated on those amazing history generals who have blazed the trail before us in sports karate. The program has been designed to help you develop a reflex response against a sudden and random attack to neutralize without hesitation, to help you in your journey to be a faster and interactive fighter while having fun in a simulation game-like program to be able to continue to practice your skills in self-defense anywhere, anytime, when you want. With SetVR, you will not be outside looking into the program. You'll be actually immersed into a simulation program, just like the military, when the police department has their simulation program. This is a simulation program for martial arts to practice the art of self-defense, moving 360 degrees in a cutting-edge program whereby a hologram attacker will attack you when you least expect it. The hologram attacker has been designed to approach you into your personal space prior to the attack to create adrenaline effects. During this adrenaline surge, this is the time whereby one would normally have a momentary pause, losing 35, 40, 50% of what they've been taught, and whereby utilizing muscle memory or reflex response would be your only best recourse to help defeat and to neutralize your attacker. Just like Professor Garley, as you mentioned many times over, metaphors. Just like placing your hand on a hot stove to move reflexively, or imagine to practice in a program to practice the art of Thai Sabaki, moving angular, linear, and circular to move reflexively against attack to neutralize without hesitation. Our program with SetVR, with the Oculus Rift or Oculus Quest headset, you'll be transported into a virtual reality platform whereby Hagen will be introduced to you, and the program is designed to help you to develop your reflexes, to develop a muscle memory, and develop a reflex response against an attack to neutralize without hesitation. This is a platform where you continue to practice what you've been taught and kata's informed in your programs and your schools to practice anywhere, anytime, when you want. The program has also been implemented to enter a program of mindfulness for stretching, meditation exercises, and will also present you with your own personal yoga instructor. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Garley and the Sports Karate Museum to be the platform for your vision of Sports Karate Museum and virtualized with SetVR, whereby we have introduced Professor Garley. Professor Garley, for you to be the Wisdom Warrior at the Samurai Ninja at the gate of the History Portal. But before meeting the Wisdom Warrior, one must be able to neutralize the hologram attacker at the gate of the History Portal and be brought back into the courtyard to meet the core history generals. So please continue to visit our website at SetVRXL.com. At SetVRXL.com Professor Gowdy, some few words about your vision of the Sports Climbing Museum and virtualized with SetVR.
Well, Dr. Lee, my vision is very simple. Elders, respect, knowledge. And with SetVR, you're allowing the Sport Climbing Museum to do exactly that. Now, we've created a core group, or you have, and it's up right now. You can go there. It's not any particular order. Judge Roy Kerman, the man that created the two-point kick rule for the world in point karate. Mr. George Minshew, the man that gave up a gold ring first time in open competition and was part of the Big Six tournament circuit in the 60s, 70s, and 80s of Karate Olympics. Miss Chris Minshew, NBA world champion. Mr. Mike Dillard, the owner and creator of Century Martial Arts Supply, the largest martial arts supply company in the world, also the creator of the NKC, the National Karate Circuit. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be adding new history generals, new profiles every month and periodically. And people like Mike Stone, Chuck Norris, and Gene LaBelle, and Bob Wall, and so many others, all the history generals. And you can go to SportCrowdMuseumArchives.com, and you can see all the history generals that are on the webpage. Now, the neat thing about SetVR is that we not only get to tell the story of sport karate in America, you get to enhance your skill that you already have with this amazing invention. Now, the inventors, Mr. Rich Shanahan and Dr. Richard Lee, usually come to the convention every year at the Legends. Now, this year, we're going to be honoring the youth. The youth meet the pioneers, and SetVR will be there. So if you want to experience SetVR, by the way, Dr. Lee, how would people get to see SetVR unleashed right now if they want to go to the computer and see it? There's a way for them to see it.
Absolutely, sir. Just go on Google search and type in www.setvrxl.com, www.setvrxl.com, or go to your website, sir, and look up your program, and you'll see our program listed as a platform for them to go into and experience an amazing program of virtual reality and to improve your skills in self-defense.
That's right. You have your own webpage on our webpage by going to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com. Go to the index, and you'll see SetVR, and it'd be amazing to see. And you put all the updates up there. So, Dr. Lee, you have a great Thanksgiving, okay, please?
You and everyone else, sir. Thank you.
You
have a nice holiday.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Dr. Reginald Lee, one of the co-founders of SetVR XL, at least, the virtual reality platform to enhance your training. Now, I want to bring back my special guest tonight, Mr. Robert Hartfield. Robert, you there? Hey, buddy. I'm going to hit you with a couple names, and you get to talk about them. Let's keep it under 1 minute, so I can probably hit you with a few names. You ready?
All right, lay it on me.
George Minshew.
Great promoter, founder of the Karate Olympics.
Is that all?
He's a funny guy. I like him.
A man of words. Alan Steed.
Legendary in the state of Texas.
Is that it?
Well, I mean, I don't know how much you want to elaborate. I mean, I met Alan years ago.
You got
1 minute,
Robert. You got 1 minute.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, yeah, Alan is one of the forefathers of karate in Texas. you know, he was a great fighter. You know, he's known throughout the world. You know, I respect him just like I do Roy Kirby.
Okay, James Cook.
Legendary. One of my dear friends. He came into the karate world, and, man, he set it on fire. They used to call him Twinkle Toes because he wore the kung fu uniforms and stuff and everything. They hadn't really seen kung fu, you know, when they saw him because he was a big-time East Coast fighter and stuff. So,
he went through
the brands like it was something else. He's a tremendous martial artist and a very close friend. Excellent technician. Very wise. A lot of wisdom.
You bet. You bet. Okay.
Love him to death.
Let's come home a little bit. Ray McCallum.
Legendary fighter. He is by far one of the greatest technicians I've ever seen and stuff. You know, he's a tremendous technician. He's a warrior. He has a warrior attitude, and he doesn't back down to anyone, no matter how difficult the task. He's a tremendous fighter, a warrior. That's what a true warrior in every sense of the word, and I respect him as a fighter and stuff, you know. And I've seen him over the years. We fought one time when I first got to Texas.
Who won?
Oh, he got me by a point, but he's a tremendous fighter. But he earned the respect of Kung Fu because he said, you don't fight like the other Kung Fu guys. I said, I don't know what they fight like, but hey.
Let's go back a few years. D.P. Hill.
Love him to death. One of my dearest friends, and a lot of people don't know this, I grew up around D.P. because D.P. used to work for my father.
Yep. Really?
He was a tremendous fighter, man. Tenacity, grit, stuff. He would never. If
the
he fought D.P., you know you've been
death.
In a fight.
Remember?
Huh?
The Four Fingers of Death.
Yep.
He had his thumb cut off. He had an issue with that nub.
Do you know the history of where he lost his finger?
No, I got hit with that nub one time at Al Garza's. Tell me about it. Tell me about how he lost it.
I'm going to tell you how he lost it. Like I said, he used to work for my father. At, you know, he was the manager of a supermarket. He cut his fingers off in a meat machine.
Wow.
He wasn't paying attention. I was there the night he cut his fingers. That night he cut his fingers off. Yeah. That's how he lost his fingers.
Wow.
Yep. But
he
took that disadvantage and made it into an advantage because that was a weapon.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
It was. Now, listen, thank you for being on the show tonight. I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving and a happy holidays, Robert. And, I'll be looking forward to putting you on the pedestal in October. You keep your hands up, eat lots of turkey, and we're going to have fun this year. You take care, buddy, okay?
You too, man. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking to Mr. Robert Hartfield, one of the true martial art legends that we have here in America, and we have him here in Texas, which is really cool. And, you know, I want to thank Auntie Jessie Bowen for allowing us to be on the air for all this time, for all these years, and all these interviews. I think we've done over 800 interviews, and we've got to honor quite a few people through this show. And we want to thank everybody, all our listeners, and don't forget about our incredible Black Friday sale coming up. That's going on right now. And remember, you can go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com and see about Set VR, see about all the incredible things that we support, see videos, pictures, all the history journals. So we thank you for allowing us to be a part of your vision and home. Let us come in every Tuesday evening. And we want to thank everybody. And we mean it from the heart every week. Much, much mahalo. And aloha. Good night, everybody.
Good night, you all.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.